It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy to have you along for the ride with us here on this Tuesday afternoon. I am the Bulldog, Nate Geary, alongside again today, sitting in for Mike Shope, who is off all week long. And very proud, very excited to introduce a show debut. No stranger to the station. You hear him and, well, I don't know if you see him. Yeah, I guess the podcast is a video. You see him on TV, too, at his real gig at Channel 7. He's the sports director over there at WKBW. Matt Beauvais, welcome to the Shope and the Bulldog Show. I'm sorry, Mike hates you, and he's not here today.
Thank you for having me. I was thinking that for a little while. I was like, wow, I'm surprised that I haven't been on with these guys. So when Zach texted me yesterday, I was honored. I said, oh, somebody who must not like me might not be there today. But I'm excited to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
It's good. Everything going all right? Your summer good so far?
Yeah, summer's good so far. I mean, summer for us ends whenever the Bills report to camp. Mm-hmm. But I admittedly get excited for it, even though it is work. I love Fisher. I love being up there. I love getting back into the swing of things. So things have been good. Have a baby now, so I don't golf as much as Nate or I would like to, but hey, I guess that just kind of comes with the territory.
You can lump me in there too. I don't know if I golf as much as Nate, but I'm at 36 rounds for the year already.
I'm at eight. Eight rounds this year.
Well, I've been there. When my kids were little, I hardly ever played because I never enjoyed it. I always felt like, I don't know, I always felt like I should be doing something with them. Something.
Well, like, the goal now for me, like, she's still, my daughter's 17 months old. The goal is to get her into golf, which is what my dad did with me. And mm-hmm. I think at the time I didn't really realize what he was doing, but I picked up a golf club pretty early on. So now I'm thinking back and I'm like, he did this so he could golf. And then I would just have to be with him. So now whenever my daughter starts to like gravitate towards it, she's getting a club and we're going. And then I'm sure my wife will be like, get out of the house. If you want to take her, take her. So that's the kind of end right. goal here.
And I am going to plead the fifth on the exact amount of rounds played this year because it's very possible my full-time employer is listening. So,
very good point. Very good point.
So, Matt, we'll get into some specifics here as we go, but I'm curious, for a first time talking to you, what your, I don't know, what your view from 20,000 feet above is of the Bills as they head into the 2024 season. It is very unlike the preceding three or four seasons where most key, you know, elements were locked down. We knew, you know, what to expect to a certain degree, and there were very few surprises. I feel like this year, a lot of that walked out the door with the various veterans that have been let go. So, I don't know, how do you feel just about the overall at this point as we're, you know, close to winding down the Rochester portion of camp?
I just feel like for me, the range of outcomes is a little bit wider than it has been in years past. I still absolutely think that they are a good enough team to win the division and to even make a run at the Super Bowl. I think if they get hot, there is no team that they cannot beat, especially with Josh Allen. My only concern is because of the division, I do feel like it is going to be a tougher path to get to the playoffs. I still think they are a playoff team, but I can hear and I can get to, well, if this goes wrong, this goes wrong, this goes wrong, then maybe they're going to really be fighting their way just to make a playoff spot at the end. So I don't think my absolute best case scenario on the team has changed. I still think they can absolutely win it all. But I think the worst case scenario is just a little bit more bleak than it has been in years past. I don't think we're going to get to that point because I think you split the difference. And to me, you split the difference. In my opinion, they're still a playoff team. They're still a team that has Josh Allen, and they're still a team that can beat Yep. any team in the league. So that's why I still really like their chances moving forward. I just am, if you get to the playoffs, give me number 17,
right?
Basically against anybody, and that's including Patrick Mahomes, and I think you're going to be in it until the very end.
The big change for me, I would say, is that the last 3 years, like since 20, like when 20 began, I wasn't thinking about them being a real Super Bowl contender or the one seed specifically. As the year went on, it became like, oh, well, that'd be really great if you get the one seed, get the week off. Of course, they never did it. And then the following 3 years, they never got to that level. I feel like going into this season, that's a big change for me. Like, I know anything can still happen. It's sports. But I am not thinking about the one. I feel like with their schedule and the division, like you said, it's just a little too much of an ask, I think, to expect the one. I think, you know, 10 wins, 11 wins, division title is definitely in the window, but like 13 wins and the one seed, I think is would be a real heavy lift. That would be a big surprise to me.
Yeah, it's probably the best case scenario, which is a bit lofty. I, at the same time, don't even really think it matters that much. I know that you want to get the extra week off. I know that you want to be as healthy as possible. For me, if you're going to make the playoffs, just get there and be healthy, because I keep thinking back to last year when the way they played the Chiefs with the injuries that they had. No Terrell Bernard, no Matt Milano, Daquan Jones, who rushes back, injuries at corner. Like, they were playing with a really pieced together defensive group, especially. And then offensively, you know, I know Gabe Davis was not the most popular player, but I also don't really want to be watching Josh Allen take deep shots to Trent Sherfield multiple times in a playoff game and it just continuing to not work. They were really banged up. So, yeah, the one seed is probably a little bit too lofty, but how about they just get to the playoffs and they're not completely decimated with injuries?
Right.
And then I still absolutely think that they can go on a run.
Those two things, the one seed and not being all banged up in the playoffs, sort of ride together with me, because you'll recall, like, Gabe Davis got hurt in that Miami game that they had to play in because they needed it to win the division and nail down the two seed. So, you know, and then Pittsburgh is the following week, and that's when Bernard gets hurt. You get the one seed, none of that's happening, you know, provided you have it buttoned up before you get to week 18 and you don't have to play your guys. It's like, you know, you're getting 3 weeks off, basically, if you can get the bye. And that, you know, that's very valuable. But I think, again, too heavy a lift for the Bills this season. We're chatting with Matt Bove, Channel 7 sports director. You hear him on the station as the co-host of the very popular It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with our Bills beat guy, Sal Capaccio. So the receiving core, what have you seen out there usage-wise? Like, what's encouraging to you? What's discouraging to you from the group so far through, what are we at, like 8 or 9 practices of training camp?
Yeah, I actually like the group more than I thought I would like the group, just because I think that they all have skill sets that the Bills are going to be able to utilize in a lot of different ways. I do think that they will at times miss having a legitimate stud wide receiver. I think that that's going to have an impact on them. But I love that now they have a Keon Coleman who you can throw contested catches to and who can just beat guys at the point of attack. I love that they have a Curtis Samuel who they are using literally everywhere. Curtis Samuel, I just saw a tweet before we started this, and it was like, you know, Curtis Samuel is going to have 9 targets and 3 rushes in the first game, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm like, you know what? It might be even more touches because they're using that guy all over the place. So I've liked him. Matt Collins is just the depth guy who they love, who I think will probably have a bigger role than anybody initially thought he would when they signed him. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying they're going to use Matt Collins more than we probably anticipated. And then the other guy is Khalil Shakir. He has been so incredibly consistent since the start of training camp, really for the entire offseason. I think they're going to use him a lot, and I think they're going to use him a little bit more on the boundary than we're initially giving them credit for, because it's also like, well, if you're going to put him in the slot, then what are you going to do with Dalton Kincaid? And I think they're going to interchange those guys and put him outside a little bit more than would be conventional. So I actually like the group more. Tyrell Shavers continues to be the one who's emerging and has kind of worked his way onto what I think will make the roster. The only guy who I would say has disappointed would probably be MVS, but I still think he makes the team just because he has performed in big moments before. I almost feel like they're intentionally letting other guys try and get more reps with Josh because they feel like MVS is still going to be on the team, and then they'll start to work on that as we get closer. But I overall like the group, actually.
Matt, Bulldog and I yesterday like basically did an exercise where we each of us agreed that we thought that out of the receivers, Khalil Shakir would be the guy that ends up with like the most targets if you move Dalton Kincaid out of the way, because I think everyone agrees he's probably going to be the number one, you know, quote-unquote receiver in this offense. Is it Is the fact that we've heard more about Shavers and Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman in training camp more to the fact that consistency is not sexy and that it's sexier to talk about the contested catches or the usage out of the backfield or you know a training or you know a practice squad body that's now really maybe forcing the hand of this team to make a roster? Is it just that consistency is not as sexy as those other talking points?
Absolutely. I mean, think about when we had Cole Beasley here. When were we ever talking about Cole Beasley during training camp? It was like, oh, yeah, Cole Beasley is going to have seven catches for 79 yards and maybe a touchdown. Like, we didn't really talk about that. We were talking about the guys who were fighting to make the roster. So, yeah, I think Khalil Shakir is going to do exactly what they're expecting him to do. He's going to be a target that Josh leans on, especially if Dalton Kincaid is taken away, just because he has the ability to create space and find gaps and get open. The one thing, though, that I will a little bit disagree with, I actually see a world where Curtis Samuel gets more targets than Khalil Shakir. I really think they're going to use Curtis Samuel a lot. I think Kincaid will get the most. But after him, I think right now I would say the favorite is Curtis Samuel.
You know,
I think they're really going to use him a lot.
Something that Nate and I agreed on when we had this conversation about Shakir being the target leader among wide receivers was that Samuel, a part of how they're going to use him, I think, could limit his being a target on plays because I think they will use him to sort of fake the jet sweep, like just do different stuff to distract the defense. Eye candy, where it's just really going to be like you're really taking the play off. We just need you to, you know, we need a linebacker or a safety to freeze for a second or a half a second so we can get an advantage on him. And I think being that sort of Swiss Army knife guy can be something that puts a limit on your targets just to begin with. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a blessing and a curse, right? Like the right. More ways you can get used, maybe the more often you're being used to try and take away the attention from somebody else. I agree with that point to an extent. I do think, though, they will use Samuel a bit more downfield than they'll use Shakir. I feel like Shakir is very much going to be one of their main targets for the short and intermediate stuff. But I think Samuel has a little bit of a more explosiveness to his game. I just think back to, honestly, the last time I saw him live in a game was when he was with Washington against the Bills. And Benford had great coverage, and he beat him over the top for a deep gain. And that was probably the most explosive play Washington had in that game. And, you know, that's Sam Howell throwing him the ball. So I'm like, man, I know that he's not big. I know that he's probably not going to get it every game. That'll probably be MVS who gets the deep shots every game. But I think they'll use him a bit more down the field than they use Shakir.
Talking with Matt Beauvais, Channel 7 sports director, co-host of the It's Always Game Day podcast with our Sal Capaccio. You can find that in your all your podcasting platforms, including the Odyssey app here, which we would encourage you to do. How about the rest of it? You mentioned Shavers in there, and is his usage enough to legitimize the idea of him making the roster at this point? Like, I feel like every year we've got a guy who is like, you know, the fans are clamoring about him. But really, if you're paying attention, he's now working with the ones and he's playing, of course, he's piling up numbers in preseason because he's playing in the fourth quarter. I feel like Shavers has graduated beyond that, it feels like to me. Is that accurate to you?
Yeah, because those other guys who we've always clamored about in the preseason usually are not working with Josh Allen in some capacity during training camp, which Shavers has been doing. It's not exclusive, but anytime you see a guy like that getting work with that quarterback, at least in my mind, it makes me think, oh, maybe they actually think that this guy has not just a way of making the team, but has a way of getting on the field and being a contributor. So that, to me, what has elevated him from, okay, this guy's got an outside chance to, okay, now he's got a real chance. And the other thing is that everybody else has kind of come back. A couple weeks ago, Chase Claypool was the guy that a lot of people had trending in the right direction. Well, he's been injured. KJ Hamler started camp slow, has been getting used a little bit more. I still think he's got a chance because of the special teams ability that he might bring. But Justin Shorter now has missed a couple practices. He's been injured, really hasn't done anything in training camp. And then MVS, like I said, has been a bit underwhelming. So all these other guys who are kind of in that same range as Shavers have come back a little bit where he has continued to ascend. So I think there is a world where he makes the team. He's also probably going to contribute on special teams. He's really big. He's really fast. Mm-hmm. He covers a big area. So So I think that he's got a spot there as well, which makes his chances even greater.
All right, enough of the easy softball questions here, Bove. Let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. Let's talk defensive end. Let's get the people what they want. Tell me about Javon Solomon. I was intrigued by the pick when they got him. I mean, led the FBS last season, FCS. FBS? Did they still? Anyways, he led college football last year in sacks. Undersized, but like the long arms, big hands, like he's an awkward fella. What's he looking like? What's the defensive end sort of room looking like right now behind AJ Epenesa, Gregory Rousseau and Von Miller?
Well, I think Solomon has had a good couple days of practice. He's started to be noticed more, which is a good sign. Just where they drafted him and what his potential is, he's making the team. So it's just, is he making the team and actually going to get reps, or is he going to make the team and be inactive on game days or just a special teams performer? That will be completely dependent on if these flashes can become a little bit more consistent. I've liked what I've seen, but it hasn't been something we've seen overly consistent. What we have consistently seen, though, is Smoot. Smoot is going to play a lot. Smoot has a chance of not quite the Leonard Floyd ceiling because they're different players, but we're going to see Smoot on the field a lot because not only can he pass rush, he'll also slide inside on obvious passing downs. So then you can have Von Miller and him out on the field opposite of probably Greg Rousseau. So I just think Smoot is going to get a lot of opportunity. Going into camp, I put him more with like Casey Tuhill and Kingsley Jonathan, but he has far outplayed those other guys. He's going to be on the team. So my big question at defensive end is, what do they do? Greg Rousseau is going to be your main guy. How do you split up the reps between AJ Epenesa and Von Miller? Because AJ Epenesa at this point in his career, much more complete player. We don't know what to expect from Von Miller. But like I said about the receivers, I've been pleasantly surprised with Von Miller. He looks more like Von Miller than he did at any point last year. I think it's really all mental. I think he's trusting his body without playing with a brace on, and he's bending the way he used to bend and getting around the edge the way he can get around the edge. So defensive line has probably been the most impressive unit as a whole at training camp, which is a good sign for the Bills. And that's both pass rushers and interior, because Ed Oliver has been an absolute force for the last week and a half.
So let me ask you this. If we were to agree or at least assume that the team's going to keep 10 defensive linemen in total, are we looking at 5-5 again? Or do you think that maybe a Casey Tuhill or a Jonathan Kingsley, or Kingsley Jonathan, I'm sorry, force their hand to keep 6 and then maybe go practice squad with one of their interior guys? Or is it, especially with the rotation, safe to say that it's going to be a 5-5 thing?
I don't think that it's definitely going to be at 5-5, but 10 is the number that I think when you write down your 53-man roster projection, you get to. And that's because defensive tackle, you're going to go Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Austin Johnson, and then Dwayne Carter. So you've got those four guys right there. And then with the edge rushers, the guys who I definitely think are making the team are Epenesa, Rousseau, Von Miller, Smoot, and Solomon. So that's 9 guys. So then it's just, what do you value more? Do you value another defensive tackle? Do you value a Casey Tuhill? Or do you think because you've got the versatility of a guy like Smoot that maybe you can get away with just keeping 9 there and keeping an extra safety or keeping an extra linebacker? So they've got some interesting things to figure out, but honestly, Smoot has kind of been the way that I think you can manipulate that position just because you can do a little bit of both.
Few more minutes left with Matt Bove, Channel 7 Sports Director here on WGR. How do you see things shaking out at corner? Kyer Elam has been one of the bright stories of this summer so far. And, you know, I love Benford. I'm sure the Bills love Benford. Douglas performed really well. Is Elam becoming a nice problem for them to have?
Yes. That's exactly what it is. It's a great problem for them to have because this team has been snake bitten by injuries at corner. Think about how many times we have watched Dane Jackson on the field over the last couple of years. So if something does happen, at least you now can go another corner deep and not feel so concerned like that's a position that you're really going to be taking advantage of. I really think it would be tough for Elam to dethrone Christian Benford, But at the same time, I don't think it's impossible to see a world where they have a little bit of a rotation. It's almost like they did when they drafted both Elam and Benford in that game against the Rams. They kind of rotated. It was Benford started, and then Elam came in, and that was opposite Tre'Davious White. So, actually, no, he wasn't back yet. That was opposite Dane Jackson. So, I think that is a possibility, but I would still say I've got the inside track definitely on Rasul Douglas, then Christian Benford, but Elam has closed the gap a lot. He's had a really strong camp. Individually, there have been probably players who have been more consistently impressive, but overall, he just looks like a different guy. He looks like a guy who was a first-round pick with the confidence he's playing with.
Obviously, a lot of attention on the safety position with the departures of Poyer and Hyde, the veteran stalwarts back there, and now, you know, the new guys trying to fill those shoes, and a couple of key injuries, really. The starting battle opposite Taylor Rapp, both guys are out week to week with Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop. Crisis yet? Are we at break glass in case of emergency? Call Micah Hyde? Like, where are things for you right now?
I would have called Micah already, honestly. I don't know if maybe they have. Maybe he just said, like, guys, I don't want to come to training camp. I'm not sleeping in the dorm room. Call me when you're back to Buffalo and we can have a conversation. I would have done that already just because I think you can trust that guy. You don't have to worry about getting him acclimated and getting him caught up on the system. He knows all of that stuff. As far as an individual position is concerned, it's definitely the position I'm the most concerned about just because of how big of a role safety plays with a Sean McDermott / Bobby Babbage defense. Damar Hamlin has looked good, but I wouldn't want to take that risk of a Damar Hamlin looking good. I would want more of a sure thing, especially because it's not like he's lining up next to Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer like they've had in years past. I like Taylor Rapp, but I'm not as confident in Taylor Rapp as I was with either of those guys, especially when they were in their prime. So I think their plan was Taylor Rapp and Mike Edwards. But the more Mike Edwards misses, the more I wonder, how much time does this guy need to get caught up to speed, to get acclimated? Cole Bishop, I think they're going to use, but I don't think he's going to be an every down starter. So to me, that means, okay, it's either Mike Edwards gets healthy or it's going to be Damar Hamlin. And that's why I would get on the phone with Micah Hyde and get him back here.
Matt Eberflus says they're waiting on some offensive line health updates to make a decision on whether Caleb Williams is going to play on Saturday. That was this morning. I don't know if there's been anything since then. But, boy, if you're going out there or just planning to watch this game, you got to really want this kid to play, I think, right? Oh. Like, don't you want to get a look at Caleb Williams and Adunze and all of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the first thing I thought of when we found out he wasn't playing in the Hall of Fame game. I know it's not a regular season game, but, oh, cool. We'll get to see Caleb Williams play in his actual first NFL snaps, even though it's the preseason. So I definitely want to see it because I also want to see what the guys the Bills put on defense can do against a more legitimate quarterback, even though it will be his first reps. I think last year we saw Anthony Richardson for his first snaps in the preseason. So that was cool because he actually looked pretty good. So there are some weird Bears connections. I mean, it's obviously Caleb Williams is the most interesting storyline, but Tremaine Edmonds is on the Bears, Ryan Bates is on the Bears, Tommy Sweeney is on the Bears. So there's some interesting Bills crossover from years past.
Yeah, I saw Tommy Sweeney in the Hall of Fame game last Thursday. He lined up offsides at one point, but he also made a nice catch. Last thing, do we have – I know it's only Tuesday. Any guesses yet? Because I'm assuming we haven't heard McDermott talk about it yet, what the Bills' plan will be? Because Allen has almost always played a little bit in these preseason games, but I just don't know which week we should expect it, if at all.
So last year, they kind of debunked my theory that they would always just play him in one of the home playoff or home preseason games because they played him in Pittsburgh last year. So I wonder if they're going to do the same thing again or if they don't do it at all. And during that joint practice where they probably go live with the Steelers, maybe that is his preseason snaps and then they don't even bother putting him in a game. That's what I would do. I don't think he needs it. 20 minutes ago, I got a push alert from a Schefter tweet that Kyler Murray isn't going to play at all in the preseason. Right. I just think with anybody, the risk so greatly outweighs the reward. I do not think that Josh Allen needs to play in any capacity. If he does have to, though, I would do it this week at home and still with a little bit of time built on the back end. God forbid something happens injury-wise. I wouldn't do it in the last game. because you're pushing it a little bit too close to the season.
Yep.
So to me, that means if you're going to do it now, or I guess do it in Pittsburgh. Just don't do it at the end. But he probably will play at some point.
Shane Buechel. Let's see it.
Wow, he's pounding the table for Let's Shane Buechel. That just happened, Matt. I've never been more embarrassed.
SMU's finest.
Matt, thank you for this. We enjoy the work with Sal, of course, and hopefully we can make this a more regular thing with you.
Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
He is Matt Beauvais, WKBW Channel 7 sports director and co-host of the fabulously highly thought of football podcast with our Sal Capaccio. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, which again you can find at your friendly neighborhood Odyssey app. 803-0550 is the number. Some concerns raised, some praise given. We'll go through some of that and ask you for your input if you're inclined to join the conversation talking about them Bills. 803-0550 is the number. Preseason game number one goes on Saturday at 1 at home against the Bears. We're talking about it. From now until Saturday. Nate Geary in for Mike, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.